This example is provided as a supplement to the instructions for use of the Barriers and Facilitators Assessment Kit. This example demonstrates use of the toolkit to plan for implementation of an evidence-based hand washing guideline. This example works through the toolkit step by step, first to assess barriers and facilitators to implementation of the hand washing guideline, then to rank the importance of barriers and facilitators identified, and then to begin the process of selecting potential strategies to support implementation of the hand washing guideline. Hand hygiene compliance is important to preventing the spread of infections in hospitals and health centers. Achieving high levels of hand washing compliance is a universal challenge. However, hospitals in low and middle income countries often face a range of unique challenges. With this in mind, this worked example will be used to answer two questions. First, what are the barriers and facilitators to the implementation of a hand washing guideline in a healthcare facility in a low or middle income country? Second, what evidence-based implementation strategies might be used to address these identified barriers and facilitators? Barriers and facilitators are factors that can impact the implementation of evidence-based guidelines or policies, either improving or reducing the success of implementation. This example illustrates the step-by-step process to use the toolkit to identify specific barriers and facilitators using the example of a hand washing guideline. Barriers and facilitators to implementation can be found at three different levels: the patient and community level, the health provider level, and the health system level. Once users have had a chance to use a toolkit to identify barriers and facilitators, they will have an opportunity to rank their importance and then will be shown how to select strategies to address barriers and facilitators. We suggest that you post the topic of the discussion as well as these points somewhere visible for reference to help keep the discussion of barriers and facilitators focused on the specific topic. We also recommend that each large and/or small group have a facilitator to help keep the discussion on track. When planning for the implementation of an evidence-based policy or guideline, there are five key questions to consider at the start of the process. First, why is there a need to change? Second, what needs to change? Third, who needs to change? Fourth, why would they change or not change their practice? And fifth, how could they change, or what strategies could be used to support the change? In this example, we are using a hand washing guideline to illustrate how to use this toolkit to determine what factors will either help or hinder the successful implementation of this guideline in a specific setting. The goal of this example is to have everyone, patients, providers, family members, hospital workers, wash their hands before and after every contact with a patient, with patient surroundings, with body fluids, and before any clean procedure. With the hand washing example in mind, how would we answer the five questions to consider when planning for implementation of this specific hand washing guideline? First, why is there a need for change? There is a need for change because hospital-acquired infections are an important cause of morbidity and mortality worldwide, and a lack of proper hand washing techniques is an important contributor to this problem. Second, there is a need to improve compliance with evidence-based hand washing guidelines in order to reduce hospital-acquired infections to improve patient outcomes. Third, improved hand washing is needed from everyone who has contact with patients and/or their surroundings, which includes family members, healthcare workers, and hospital workers, such as cleaners or food handlers. Fourth, positive or negative factors can impact whether or not this change in practice could happen. These positive and negative factors are known as barriers and facilitators. Fifth, once barriers and facilitators have been identified, evidence-based strategies can be selected and used to address them and therefore increase the chance of successful implementation of the hand washing guideline. This tool can be used to answer the following questions. Question 4, why would they change or not change their practice? And once barriers and facilitators to change have been identified, this toolkit can be used to help answer question 5, which is, how could they change? What strategies can be used to support the change to occur? Instructions for using the toolkit are available in two places. First, the instructions can be accessed by selecting the About This Toolkit button on the homepage. This button is located in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage. Second, the instructions for the toolkit can be accessed by clicking on the question mark button located in the upper right-hand corner and can be used as often as needed and at any place within the toolkit. To start a new assessment, click the button that says Start a New Assessment. This button is located in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage and is beside the button that says About This Toolkit. Once you start a new assessment, you will be taken to the next page of the toolkit. On the next page of the toolkit, you will see the three levels of access listed: patient and community, health provider, and health system. To the right of this list, there are two columns. One is labeled barriers and the other is labeled facilitators. As users work through the different levels, the total number of barriers and facilitators they select at each level will be recorded in the columns. To begin your assessment, select the View button beside the Patient Community Level option. This will take you to the first group of barriers and facilitators. Barriers and facilitators are listed separately and are grouped by topic or theme and access level. Users are encouraged to start the assessment at the patient or community level. Once you have hit the View button, you will be taken to the first group of barriers and facilitators in the toolkit. We recommend that you read through each subsection in full before beginning to select individual barriers and facilitators within the subsection. Barriers and facilitators are grouped under the following themes: financial resources, knowledge and beliefs, transportation issues, quality of care, cultural beliefs and traditions, and family obligations and support. Not all barriers or facilitators apply to all situations. Only barriers and facilitators relevant to the specific topic in your context should be selected. Below the last theme, users will find a place to list any additional barriers and facilitators they identify that do not fit into these five categories. The text box beside each barrier or facilitator may be used to provide specific details about the barrier and facilitator and how it may impact implementation of the policy or guideline in the specific setting. When you select a barrier, click the box beside it and your selection will be recorded and tracked. In this example, three barriers have been identified at the patient and community level and have been selected by ticking the green box beside them on the left. No facilitators have been identified. Once users have completed their selections at the patient and community level, they can move to the health provider level by clicking Next at the bottom of the screen. The barriers and facilitators in the second section are positive or negative factors that impact implementation at the health provider level. They are grouped under the following themes: training, knowledge, or skills, access and awareness, attitudes and beliefs. Users are also provided space to list additional barriers and facilitators that do not fit under one of these three themes. Again, beside each barrier and facilitator, users will also be able to use the text box to provide more detail about their choice. For this example, three barriers have been identified at the health provider level, and details about how the barrier impacts implementation in this setting are provided in the text box to the right. Facilitators for the health provider level will be discussed next. In this example, two facilitators have been identified at the health provider level and have been selected by ticking the green box beside them on the left. As well, additional information about the facilitators has been included in the text box beside them on the right. Once users have completed their selections at the health provider level, they can move to the health system level by clicking the next box at the bottom of the page. Toolkit users will finish their initial barriers and facilitators assessment at the health system level. As in previous levels, barriers and facilitators are arranged by theme: material and financial resources, human resources, communication and information sharing, policy issues. In this example, five barriers have been identified at the health system level, and the text boxes beside these barriers have been used to provide more detail about why they were selected and how they may impact implementation in this setting. In addition, one facilitator has been identified at the health system level. Once users have completed their selections, they will be able to return to the home page and see the total numbers and barriers and facilitators they identified during the assessment. In this example, we can see that the following barriers and facilitators have been selected. At the patient and community level, three barriers were identified. At the health provider level, three barriers and two facilitators have been identified. At the health system level, five barriers and one facilitator have been identified. It is important to note that while the overall number of barriers and facilitators identified may seem large, strategies later selected will often be able to target more than one barrier and facilitator. Once users have completed their initial selection of barriers and facilitators relevant to their context and the specific topic, they can begin to organize their choices by considering what factors will have the biggest impact on implementation efforts by using X's for barriers and stars for facilitators. The facilitators with the biggest potential impact, i.e. those that are of high importance, should have 3 stars. And facilitators with the smallest potential impact should have 1 star, indicating that they are of relatively low importance. Similarly, the barriers with the biggest potential impact, those of high importance, should have 3 X's. And the barriers with the smallest potential impact, ones that are of low importance, should have 1 X. In this example, the lack of awareness of hand washing guidelines has received 3 X's, where the poor quality of training has received 2 X's. Therefore, the lack of awareness of the hand washing guidelines has been identified as being a factor of higher importance, or a factor that will have a greater impact on implementation than poor quality training around the hand washing guidelines. When users are organizing facilitators, they will use stars instead of X's to identify what factors have the biggest potential impact on implementation of the hand washing guideline. In this example, educating staff on the evidence of proper hand washing has been identified as having less importance than developing training in proper hand washing techniques, and therefore has received 2 stars instead of 3. It is important that when organizing barriers and facilitators to consider feasibility, sustainability, and acceptability of each barrier and facilitator. For example, barriers that must be addressed before implementation efforts can begin, such as barriers related to policy or law, should receive 3 X's to highlight its importance. The purpose of this step is to organize your selections to highlight those with the biggest potential impact on implementation of the hand washing guideline. This information can be used to facilitate selection of implementation strategies to address barriers and facilitators and improve success of implementation. The next section will discuss the results of the barriers and facilitators assessment. Barriers and facilitators for this example have been assessed at 3 levels, patient and community level, health provider, and health system level. The results of this assessment are listed in the table with specific references to the hand washing example. At the patient community level, 3 barriers have been identified and have been given 3 X's. The barriers identified are lack of money to buy soap, lack of knowledge of the correct way to wash hands, and limited access to clean water and soap. At the health provider level, 3 barriers have been identified. Lack of awareness around proper hand washing techniques was given 3 X's, whereas staff not being trained in hand washing skills and hand washing practices not being monitored or audited have been given 2 X's. As well, 2 facilitators have been identified at the provider level. These include early training in proper hand washing techniques, which was given 3 stars, and educating staff on the evidence for hand washing techniques, which was given 2 stars. Finally, at the health system level, 5 barriers and 1 facilitator were identified. 2 barriers, lack of easy access to fresh water and inadequate funding of materials needed for hand washing, were given 3 X's each. The lack of mechanism to audit hand washing, lack of mechanism to collect data on hand washing, and lack of feedback to the hospital on the link between hand washing and hospital acquired infection were each given 2 X's. The facilitator to monitor and share hand washing auditing systems was given 2 stars. Once users have organized their barriers and facilitators, the list of potential strategies to address barriers and facilitators should be reviewed and discussed as a group to select the strategies best suited to address the barriers and facilitators identified. This list can be accessed in the toolkit by clicking on the Next Strategies button on the final page of the health system level section. In discussing potential evidence-based strategies to support implementation by addressing the barriers and facilitators identified, it is important to consider acceptability, feasibility, and sustainability of potential strategies. The table lists the barriers and facilitators used in this toolkit and provides examples of evidence-based interventions that could be used to address them. In the first column, types of barriers and facilitators are listed by category. These categories include knowledge, skills, and training, habits, memory, and decision processes, policies and laws, resources, which include staff, equipment, finances, and medications, communication, collaboration, and information sharing, sociocultural influences, including political, religious, cultural context, workplace culture and norms, and gender, family roles, and decision-making, beliefs and emotions, and desire to change. Columns 2, 3, and 4 are labeled patient community level, provider level, and health system level. Under each is a list of evidence-based strategies that may be considered to address the barriers or to optimize the facilitators to support implementation. For example, if providers forgetting to use a new clinical guideline was identified as an important barrier, you would find this category on the table in the habits, memory, and decision processes row, and potential strategies to address this behavior under the provider column. Potential strategies listed here should then be discussed, considering suitability in the setting in which it is to be used. Over the next few pages, users will be shown examples of possible interventions that can be used to address the barriers and facilitators identified in this example, implementing a handwashing guideline. In addition, we have included two resources at the end of the toolkit that may be used to guide selection of implementation strategies by matching strategies to identified barriers and facilitators. In the hand washing example, three barriers were identified at the patient community level: lack of money to buy soap, lack of knowledge of correct way to wash hands, and limited access to clean water and soap. Users will find the barriers on the table in the resources and knowledge category, and then under the patient community column. Users will find possible interventions to address these barriers. For example, to address the lack of funds to buy soap, users could suggest developing a community fund or developing an advocacy plan to promote better access to resources like clean water. Likewise, to address the lack of knowledge of the correct way to wash hands, users could decide to develop patient or community education strategies. At the health provider level, three barriers and two facilitators were identified. Barriers identified were staff not being trained in hand washing techniques, lack of awareness around proper hand washing technique, and hand washing practices not being monitored or audited. The first two barriers can be addressed through the development of educational materials. Staff can be educated in proper hand washing techniques, and reminder strategies such as posters at the sink or outside the patient room might be used. Of note, many education strategies are listed, as common strategies such as educational pamphlets have been found to be relatively ineffective in changing behavior. A possible strategy to address the third barrier is to design a way to monitor rates of hand washing compliance and rates of hospital-acquired infections. This information can then be used to guide ongoing implementation efforts, which might include booster training if infection rates rise or hand washing compliance drops, or to give feedback to hospital units to highlight need for improvement. Two facilitators were identified at this level, and users can use this chart to develop possible interventions that will increase the successful implementation of the hand washing guideline by optimizing these facilitators. The first facilitator identified was that early training in proper hand washing techniques could increase the success rate of implementation. This can be addressed by including training in hand washing techniques in healthcare provider curriculum or at training sessions for new hires. The second facilitator identified was educating staff on evidence for hand washing and could be done at the time of hiring or at regular intervals at staff meetings with existing staff. Six barriers and one facilitator were identified at the health system level for the hand washing example: lack of access to fresh water and hand washing materials, soap or hand sanitizer, may be addressed through advocacy or appropriate budgeting. Development of a system for monitoring and evaluation with mechanisms to share this information to management and staff may also be needed and could be targeted for development. You will note in this case and many others that the facilitator is the opposite of some of the barriers, with the same strategy suggested to both optimize the facilitator and address the barrier. This may mean that the strategy has been used, but could be used more often to optimize the facilitator, or it is believed to be of help or potentially useful based on experience in other areas, but has not yet been used for this specific implementation effort. As the focus of this toolkit is primarily on assessment of barriers and facilitators, additional resources have been included that may be useful in combination with this toolkit, as they provide additional options for matching implementation strategies to identified barriers and facilitators, and provide a more comprehensive list of strategies than included in this toolkit. Both are available online and can be downloaded free of charge.